chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do. And we trace a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Shawn. Do I need to go on? I want a cap of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is en route back to the U.S., having concluded his European tour today in Bulgaria. Discussions there revolved around the proposed U.S. missile defense system and free market economic trade. Iraq's controversial Sunni parliament speaker was voted out today. He will be replaced by another Sunni Arab. The speaker has been called radical and erratic by fellow lawmakers. The UK's future Prime Minister Gordon Brown arrived in Baghdad this morning to meet with Iraqi officials. Britain, America's staunchest ally in Iraq, has already begun withdrawing its troops. Three U.S. soldiers were killed and another six wounded yesterday when a suicide bomber blew up a major highway bridge south of Baghdad. Three other American troops were killed in other incidents over the weekend. Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman said yesterday the U.S. should use military action against Iran to stop it from helping insurgents in Iraq. Lieberman suggested on Face the Nation America could use airstrikes instead of committing ground troops. Today, Kuwait said it would not permit the U.S. to use its bases for an attack on Iran. Kuwait was the main staging ground for the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. 15,000 American troops are stationed there now. During an interview with Meet the Press yesterday, former Secretary of State Colin Powell said the 380 Guantanamo Bay prisoners should be moved to the U.S. immediately and the detention facility closed. The retired general said the prison is hurting America's reputation overseas. The Washington Post reports the CIA will trim 10% from its annual budget for contractors. About a third of CIA employees are private contractors. The agency's director says their work has not been supervised competently. In Gaza, street fighting between rival Palestinian forces continues today. This morning, the Prime Minister's house was targeted by gunmen. When the parliament building was attacked, lawmakers fled and legislative meetings were canceled. Sunday, U.S. and Israeli air forces launched a week-long joint exercise in southern Israel. Israeli authorities say the exercises were planned 2 years ago and have no connection to recent military or political events in the region. On Capitol Hill, the Senate today debates a no-confidence vote on Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Federal authorities have expanded an E. coli recall of fresh and frozen beef sold in 11 western states. More than 6 million pounds are involved. The meat was distributed by California's United Food Group. The LA Times reports both India and China will launch unmanned moonshots within a year. India says its probe will involve three-dimensional mapping. China says its scientists are interested in the geochemistry of the moon's surface. At least 80 Bangladeshis have died in mudslides, 100 have been injured. In South China, 170,000 people have been left homeless and 66 killed due to flooding. In eastern Australia, heavy rains have killed 9. Tens of thousands are still without power. The Wall Street Journal reports Disney is poised to announce a joint venture with an Indian film company to produce animated films. The deal continues the U.S. movie makers' interest in investing in India's expanding film market. The Lundberg survey says in the past 3 weeks, prices at the pump fell for the first time since January. The most expensive gasoline was found in Chicago, the cheapest in Mississippi. Light sweet crude is trading at $65.22 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is down 36 points, the Nasdaq down 6, the S&P 500 down 4. Gold trading at $655.80 an ounce. You can find more at qualitynewsnetwork.com.
This is a talk to we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right! Welcome aboard, Foxed Up here, everybody. It's a brand new week, and boy, we didn't get a whole lot done last week, but that was for good reason. We had business to take care of. But welcome aboard, everybody. You're here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, as per normal. I haven't gotten out of this hellhole yet, but I will. Speaking of hellholes, boy, when we get rain, we get rain. Holy bejesus. I'm telling you, it was a flood here. Well, not necessarily right where I am, but the city of Sydney got hit pretty bloody hard, but Newcastle and the Hunter Valley are really, really got, and there have been thousands evacuated from front cons. It's been amazing. There was a section of the Pacific Highway just north of Sydney that just completely collapsed. We're talking completely a four-lane highway. I call it a highway. It's really not much of a highway. It's now become kind of a secondary road. But just probably, 6 meters across, took a car, an entire family. It was a full mudslide. It's just like someone came and just chopped out an entire section of the road, and it was just gone. Newcastle's kind of sitting on the chair tonight. Tonight is the last night that they live dangerously. Their possible wall of water ready to come down the Hunter right into Newcastle. We've been so dry for so long, and in no way, shape, or form is this breaking the drought? You know, 4 days of getting absolutely just torrential rains are not a drought-breaking situation, especially when it's as bad as it has been here. Now, one of the scarier things, though, is that a tanker, Newcastle, was just being thrown about, ended up having to beach itself across the water from the city. And they're getting tugs up there in the next 2 days to finally figure out how to salvage this thing off of the beach. And it's a loaded fuel tanker. Only the outer hull has been breached. The inner hull is still intact, thankfully. But aside from all the water damage, entire towns have just been wiped out. There's also this possible, like, really bad environmental disaster that could take place, not just, you know, the environmental disaster as in huge rains, but an environmental disaster as in fuel oil. An entire full tanker of fuel oil is kind of sitting there in a pretty precarious situation at the moment. Not as precarious as it was, because when the seas were going off. And just like children, cats get cabin fever by day two of being stuck inside. And I'm telling you, both of ours were, like, you know, stuck to the ceiling. They were running all over the place. They're knocking things over, you know. And then you go through the dance at the door, and you know it's pouring out there. You're not going to want to go. We open the door. You look. And then you decide, no, I'm going to be a smart cat and stay inside. But it's been an amazing weekend of weather here. And some of it did actually hit the water catchment areas. But again, I swear, water catchment areas are all in the wrong places. Because there was a news report earlier today where the reporter was holding two containers with water. And one was the equivalent of amount of rainfall that hit the catchment, and then the equivalent amount of rainfall that hit outside the catchment, and what hit outside the catchment was 10 times the volume of the water that hit inside the water catchment. So, you know, there you go. There you have it. It's fairly ugly. If you want to see some really great photos, go to the City Morning Herald website, which is just smh.com.au, and they've got there's plenty of stories. There's thousands of people still without power. They reckon it's one of the biggest whacks that the grid's ever taken in one shot. Just because of where things got hit. I have to give credit where credit's due. The emergency services people in this country are amazing. They really are. I mean, volunteers just popping out of the woodwork, you know, they get those orange and black uniforms on, and man, they're out there and they're doing everything that they can, and they did a great job evacuating people. Of course, you have some people complaining, going, oh, they kind of overdid it, we didn't need to evacuate all those people. But I guarantee you, the same guy that complained that they evacuated people too quickly, that if his house went down or he hadn't gotten out or one of his neighbors hadn't gotten out, would have been complaining about, why didn't they evacuate? You know, I mean, come on. You know, you cannot control Mother Nature. And that's going to get into, we're going to talk about the G8 today. we're also going to, today's track of the day is kind of important. Through all everything that's been going on lately, I don't know how I missed this. And, you know, we just had a huge musical anniversary, you know, with it being 40 years ago since Sgt. Pepper's was released. We've just hit the 10th anniversary of the unfortunate death of Jeff Buckley. So today we're going to do a little bit of Jeff Buckley, just because aside from having one of the most amazing, you know, voices in recent memory, The guy had one hell of a rock and roll band, and he was a fine guitar player as well. I have the Live in Chicago DVD, and it's just it's outstanding. But anyway, we're going to hit our first break, folks. We're going to come back. We're going to start getting into what this whole G8 climate change agreement that doesn't hold anybody accountable to anything thing. We'll get into that, and we'll play some Jeff Buckley. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
The deception with time. Just what are you trying to say? You got a blank face with your intent. Communicate, pull out your body piece.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Foxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
I'd like that if we could cycle down.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And you heard the ad there for Mr. Billy Shears on Friday. And because we did not have normal broadcasting this past Friday, we're going to have a double shot of Shears this week. Because, well, Friday's bit was supposed to be part one of two parts. So on Wednesday, we will run the Shears spot that was scheduled for last Friday. And then on Friday, we'll do part two. And I'm not going to tell you who it is because it's a secret. And I don't know if you might have caught the little promo that we were running last week. I don't know if you did get to catch it because, well, we didn't get a whole lot of shows out last week. You put a little teaser in this, and dealing with a Rice Krispies commercial and who wrote it and who played it. But you'll just have to tune in on Wednesday to catch all that. So, we're gonna try and play tricky games with my little IP reset problem. We're rescheduling the track of the day for a little later in the show and see if we can you know, mask over that thing that has been plaguing me over the last few weeks. Watch, it'll switch its time, you know, to some other slot. Someone over at Primus is listening. Ha, 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 ha. All right. So, I haven't been with y'all since this whole thing with the G8 climate deal came down. Now, last time we spoke, or last time I talked to you, I was mentioning the fact that I saw this concerted effort to undermine Kyoto by George W. Bush and John Howard with his own environmental report thingy coming down that came down with no goals, no nothing. And this trying and this attempt to muddy the waters on the discussion and where we need to go. And George, while trying to say we need to act on climate change, at the same time is telling the G8 to soften their language on the proposals and on the agreement that they were trying to, you know, hammer out. So what did they come up with? A complete failure as far as I'm concerned. Now, Chancellor Merkel, I think she's fairly all right when it comes to a lot of things, and I think she really wanted to go at this issue hard. But then again, you end up having George W. Bush involved. And there is no way, he will ever be held to any kind of a strict target. And from the Star Online, they say, messy G8 deal on climate change. And they say, a messy compromise was struck on climate change to save the group of eight summit from major failure last week. The leaders of the developed countries signed a declaration that gives a target for reducing the global level of greenhouse gas emissions, which cause global warming by at least half by 2050. But it mentions only the European Union, Japan, and Canada as accepting this target. The United States and Russia will only seriously consider it. That means they're not going to do squat. This will allow enough wiggle room for the U.S. government not to commit itself to a timetable, or at least the same timetable, for emissions reduction. However, Europe, Canada, and Japan have for the first time signaled a self-set target to cut their emissions. Now, this does have to be applauded on these nations' parts, but, again, the big polluting baddie, the United States, doesn't have to follow this. You know, one rule for you, one rule for us, you see. And again, even this agreement has not actually set, you know, they say, you know, cutting in half by 2050, but there's no short-term goals. There is, none of this is binding. In the great American tradition of, you know, corporate control or any of this stuff, it's all going to be, you know, self-monitored, you see. Trust us. We don't need, no, you can't make, you can't put anything in stone, you can't tell us that we have to, but, you know, we're going to try. And I'm sorry, it's too late for this. And I was reading earlier, you Downer, our foreign minister, says, you know, no nation could possibly do this because it would be too much of an imposition, a financial imposition. Excuse me. Millions and millions of environmental refugees. That's, I think, slightly, it's much more important than any individual nation's economy. And this is, again, they keep going back to the same non-argument, that it's either the economy or the environment. No, you can have both, you freaking morons. I'm so tired of this. Now, I've been having a bit of a scan of the actual, you know, documents that came out of the G8. And you can find these at the German G8 website, which there's a link on today's show post. And I've been reading, you know, and there's all this, you know, we must take responsibility, this, and it's fundamental, that, and da-da-da-da-da. But I keep going through, and I see nothing that actually sets goals. I see nothing that has accountability, and this is where it's obvious that the Bush administration's involved, because these people avoid accountability in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I when Bush was told we had to act on climate change, he thought it was a performance. We just got to act like we're doing something about it. We just talk about it nicely. And it's just, oh, just drives me absolutely crazy. You know, and Johnny Howard is going to use the rains that we've just had as saying that the drought has broken. And I will just want to go and smack his little fuzzy eyebrowed face. Because just like George W. Bush, he is all talk, no action, and a stinking, stinking liar. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we're going to come back. I'm going to talk a little bit about Jeff Buckley before we do our track of the day, and come back after that. And I might read a little bit from this documentation and see if you can find any, you know, ring me, say, you know, this is where they, you know, if I've missed something in all this paperwork, you got to tell me. But as far as I can see, it's full of holes, especially when it comes to the United States. So stick around, folks. You're with Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. I was talking to an 80-year-old poet from Long Island yesterday. His name is Max Wheat, and he was about to get his day in the sun last Monday. He was notified that he was to be designated the first poet laureate of Nassau County. But something happened on the way to his coronation. The cowardly Nassau County board saw that he'd written some anti-Bush poems, so they voted not to give him the title. Wheat has a little book out called Iraq and Other Killing Fields, Poetry for Peace. In it, he has a powerful poem entitled Coming Home, which recounts the biographical details of several soldiers killed in the war, and it ends with this refrain, all lidded down inside casket, carefully, caringly covered with the American flag. The county board accused him of being against the troops, but this poem is anything but. One county board member said she couldn't vote for him because he dared to criticize the President of the United States. Yes, he did, but should that disqualify him? Wheat told me it was difficult watching your own rejection taking place as they went one by one. You hear that word no, and then the next one, no. Hearing the no, 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 That hurt, he said. As poet laureate, all he wanted to do, he told me, was to make Nassau County an open classroom for poetry. Today, that classroom's closed. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Horn. John Fox here with Foxed Up. And today's track of the day. I just so dig Jeff Buckley for just so many reasons. Voice, incredible. Guitar playing, incredible. Selection of tunings, unbelievable. He was a huge knob twister. And I'm not saying anything dirty here. In fact, the track that I've chosen, you know, the cliche would have been to play Hallelujah. But I want to do something slightly different, and I chose Last Goodbye for a few reasons. One, it showcases just the brilliance of his band. A great three-piece that he had behind him. Drummer and bass player that just locked as though they were one. Nice long phrases. And this track, if I'm not mistaken, is played in one of my favorite tunings, which is a kind of a variation on a lute tuning. If I'm not mistaken, this is from your low string to your high string. It's D-A-D-A-D-E. And it's really common in some of the Tea Party stuff. It's also a Led Zeppelin tuning. And, you know, son of Tim Buckley. Jeff Buckley was born in California's Orange County in 1966 and died in a tragic drowning accident in Memphis on May 29th, 1997. So it's just 10 years ago. He had emerged in New York City's avant-garde club scene in the 1990s as one of the most remarkable musical artists of his generation, acclaimed by audiences, critics, and fellow musicians alike. His first commercial recording, the four-song EP At Cine, was released in December 1993 on Columbia Records. The EP captured Buckley accompanying himself on electric guitar in tiny coffee houses in New York's East Village. By the time the EP's release during the fall of 1993, Buckley had already entered the studio with Mick Grondahl on bass, Matt Johnson on drums, and producer Andy Wallace, and recorded seven original songs, including Grace and Last Goodbye, and three covers, among them Leonard Cohen's Alleluia, Benjamin Britten's Corpus Christi Carol. That comprised his debut album, Grace, which is what you're going to hear from today. Guitarist Michael Teague became a permanent member of Buckley's ensemble and went on to co-write and perform on Grace's So Real just prior to the release of the album. And Teague is fantastic. I have, like I said, the live in Chicago DVD, which is just absolutely outrageous. It is so worth the price of admission, can I tell you? It's fantastic. And to see him do things like Alleluia live, you really get to appreciate what an amazing vocal talent this guy was. And just, again, so sad that, you know, not even, this guy didn't even, you know, lose it to, you know, some stupid drug thing. which is so common. It just seems as though it was a drowning. And, you know, just phenomenal, phenomenal musician and one hell of a rock band that had just, you know, dynamics for, you know, a mile long. Just absolutely outstanding. I mean, really, really one of my favorites. And it's funny, as Bob mentions, it's kind of eerie because he predicts drowning in one of his songs, I know. There are a few of those eerie things. I don't even want to go down that road. I love this guy for his voice. And just an amazing, amazing talent and a huge loss. And, you know, went swimming in the Mississippi River. And the undercurrent got him. You're right, Bob. It's just, it's really sad. So without further ado, you know, thank you, Jeff. That's all I can say is thank you, Jeff. And without further ado, last goodbye, Mr. Jeff Buckley off of Grace. Roll it, Bob.
kids. There are some questions about what's this new gay conversation radio show coming in June on the Head On Radio Network. Well, the details are safely locked away in my closet, located on a dirt road in the rural South. So the next time you're traveling on an interstate highway, staring out into the red state abyss, just smile and think to yourself, honey, we're everywhere.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, that's cool, Bob. Very nice. Welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. For those of you who might not have been familiar with Mr. Buckley, now you need to go out and buy the album Grace. That was the only full-length album that he released whilst still alive, and then there was the My Darling, the Drunk album, whatever it was that came out, that was put out posthumously. But just phenomenal. And since it seems reaction in the chat room, a few people weren't, you know, real familiar. So I will play Hallelujah later this week. Maybe I'll even play it tomorrow, because, I mean, if there's his... His version of it, I really do think, is my all-time favorite version. And it's not just because it comes from some rock guy. There's just something about the vocal performance. And, you know, I like my big guitars, I like my big drums, I like all that kind of stuff. But you know what? They're just really, really... There are certain people that can really sing. And Jeff was one. All right. Where were we? Okay. Talking about the G8 agreement. So you can download the summation of everything that they agreed to at the G8 summit. And it sounds great when you read it when you start reading it, but you know, again, tell me if you hear anything that, you know, kind of says, this is what we're going to do, by here, then, now, and if you don't, there will be, you know, these consequences or whatever. Climate change, energy efficiency, and energy security, challenge and opportunity for world economic growth. Humanity today faces the key interlinked challenges of avoiding dangerous climate change and ensuring secure and stable supplies of energy. Since we met in Glen Eagles, science has more clearly demonstrated that climate change is a long-term challenge that has the potential to seriously damage our natural environment and the global economy. We firmly agree that resolute and concerted international action is urgently needed in order to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions and increase energy security. Tackling climate change is a shared responsibility of all, and can and must be undertaken in a way that supports growth in developing, emerging, and industrialized economies while avoiding economic distortions. Right there, you know, a concerted international action, but yet you know, the United States and Russia can kind of, you know, say, well, okay, as long as it doesn't hurt too much. Someone said that was a very low-key track that I played. Am I getting old? Am I getting old? Oh, that's a difficult question to answer. anyway, getting back to the subject at hand. We recognize the important opportunities offered by effective action addressing climate change, in particular for innovation, technological development, as well as poverty reduction. Strong economies, together with a wide range of political instruments such as market-based mechanisms, including emissions trading, tax incentives, and regulatory measures, as well as technology cooperation and a shared long-term vision, are key to guide investment decisions, to generate technology commercialization, to enhance energy security, to promote sustainable development, and to slow, stabilize, and significantly cut global emissions of greenhouse gases. Now, continues to go on. It all sounds really, really good. However, when the world's number one polluter says, it applies to everybody else, but not us, it seems to be hollow. And I would be so insulted if I were, you know, any of the members from the European Union, if I were Canada, if I were Japan. I would be insulted because you're signing on saying we are going to bite the bullet. We understand that it's better to take some pain now. And it will hurt. Some of this is gonna hurt. This is the part of this discussion that just drives me absolutely insane. We have to make these changes now. Because if we don't, they're going to be forced on us later. And it's going to hurt a whole lot more. And a whole lot more people are going to die because of it. And all these jackasses are worried about is the bottom line all the time. But that's not necessarily even the discussion either, because they twist the thing. There is so much new money to be made out of all this new clean technology. I mean, you know, when I covered the Spegs thing, the solar pump system, which can create base load electrical generation. You know, we got to stop subsidizing, and whether or not the nation you live in actually subsidizes coal or oil directly, the wars we fight are a subsidy of the oil industry. All of those young men and women that are over in Iraq right now, that comes out of your petrol bill. I mean, do we not understand that? We're securing oil reserves because we're running out. We've already hit peak oil. It's over. We need to seriously pull our heads in, start getting our acts together, and start consuming less. I mean, it's really, really not that hard. It's not that hard. And bloody Australia, New South Wales has just approved a new massive coal mine. This is not the way to move forward. But see, this is Australia's problem. Howard and his bunch are just crying bloody murder over all this, saying you can't make us go for these big targets because until China improves, well, these guys don't want China to improve because the entire Australian financial boom is based on the resource industry, and who buys 80% of our coal? China. I mean, whose interests are we serving here? We seriously, you know, there's such a disconnect. There's such an absolute disconnect. And I'm going to scroll down a little bit into this thing where they suddenly get into a little subheading here. On this is the G8 documentation again. So climate change is the heading. It says, we take note of and are concerned about the recent UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports. The most recent report concluded both that global temperatures are rising, that this is caused largely by human activities, and in addition, that for increases in global average temperature, there are projected to be major changes in ecosystem structure and function with predominantly negative consequences for biodiversity and ecosystems, like water and food supplies. Now, food supply, isn't that a big business? Fighting climate change. We are therefore committed to taking strong and early action to tackle climate change in order to stabilize greenhouse gas concentrations at a level that will prevent dangerous anthropogenic interference with the climate system. Taking into account the scientific knowledge as represented in the recent IPCC reports, global greenhouse gas emissions must stop rising, followed by substantial global emissions reduction. And setting a global goal for emissions reductions in the process, we have agreed today involving all major emitters, aside from the United States and Russia, we will consider seriously the decisions made by the European Union, Canada, and Japan, which include at least a halving of global emissions by 2050. We commit to achieving these goals and invite the major emerging economies to join us in this endeavor. However, we're not going to hold... We're not going to put these same things on the United States because we can't do that now, can we? We can't possibly hold the United States accountable for any of this, can we? And you know, all this talk about China, if we actually still manufactured things in the United States, as opposed to Walmart buying it all from China, how much of China's emissions would be in the United States? That's just exporting it. Aside from exporting the jobs and exporting the lifestyles and exporting our communities, we've exported our emissions to a developing nation that is growing faster than it can handle, which some people don't think it's going to be able to handle what it's doing. But yet China, for all that it gets slammed for being dirty, In certain ways, in certain very key ways, they understand what's happening better than a lot of the rest of us do. And they are really trying. However, global demand has put all the world's manufacturing in their nation. So they got to supply all this. You know, I would like to see, how much different with the breakdown, you know, United States, less than 5% of the world's population, whatever it is, and we use 25% of the world's resources, where, you know, 25% of the carbon output. If we actually still built televisions, if we still actually made cars, if we still actually made widgets and sinks and toilets and all these other things that we now import from China, how much higher would those emissions be in the United States? If when you walked into a Walmart, which I know most of you wouldn't even dare unless you have no other choice, and even half of the stuff in there was actually made in the United States, how much of the emissions would be moved straight over to the United States? You know, one of the reasons why the biggest reason why China is going to end up becoming the largest emitter of greenhouse gases is because we're letting them build everything. We become too stupid and lazy to actually make things anymore. We just want to resell them. We just want to market them. We just want to advertise them. Because God forbid we get our own hands dirty and let actual Americans or Australians actually have jobs building things. It's really pathetic. It's incredibly pathetic. Because they're, you know, I just... This whole planet is so screwed up at the moment. I mean, we seriously have gone right off the rails, you know, and I mean, to go completely on a tangent, you know, I'm seeing that footage of Joe Lieberman over the weekend going, well, we got to go bomb Iran. Like now. It'll be fun. Because I'm a complete lunatic idiot. Zionist cracker. I have a friend who is in Iran right now doing research on a book. I'm getting a very different report from actually inside that country. And I can't really say much about it, and I cannot wait until he gets home. I'm so nervous about him being there. But Jesus, we gotta wake up. We so have to wake up. I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of having the same rants every day. I really am. I want to have new rants. I want a new rant. Voters of Connecticut, please recall your independent senator. Independent my ass. He's not independent of anything. He's very dependent on certain, shall we say, special interest groups. One of them being the Republican Party. Another one's a subject I'm not even going to delve into today because I've got 3 minutes left and I'm not even going down that road because that'll just get me really angry. But I suggest you go and read, because I'm going to finish reading this stuff from the G8. And I think that the G8 member nations went in with the right attitude this time. I really do think that. Merkel was hot and heavy for this. She was way hot and heavy for this. And George Bush and Putin got to go and have their little, let's return to the Cold War, little spit fight, while George W. Bush undermines what could have been, even though they want to try and do this post-Kyoto thing already, which, you know, I think is blurring, you know, is confusing the conversation. But again, George W. Bush got everything that he wanted. Everything that he wanted, which meant no accountability, and he doesn't have to do a damn thing. All right, folks, that's it. We've run out of time. Thanks for being with me today, and thanks to Bob for producing today. Thanks to the Carpenters for everything they do for us. Thanks to our mods, our bloggers. You all just rock. We'd be just so deep in doo-doo without yous. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music, and don't forget Billy Shears on Wednesday and Friday this week. So, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger.
About colony collapse disorder. And you can find this at The Independent. There's a link on the show post. But I find this unbelievably. It says here, CCD has since spread to Germany, Switzerland, Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Greece. Last week, John Chappell, one of London's biggest beekeepers, announced that 23 of his 40 hives have been abruptly abandoned. Can you imagine if you were this guy? You just, you to use an Australianism, you'd be gobsmacked. And I think at a loss, you know, you'd be looking around going, okay, what did I do wrong? You know, what got in here? What's going on? And then for there to be seemingly no environmental cause, chemical or otherwise. And I think that, you know, again, this is another one of those things, you know, that we seem to know a lot and can predict a few things, but we really, really don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And that's why we have to act now. We have to act as though the problem's already happening. And as far as I'm concerned, it already is. And we're all way too late. We're way too late to stop all the damage. But we're not too late to curb it. And we're not too late to learn how to live with the damage that will be done on this earth. Because we only got one. And we got a really, really short window to fix this. Really, really, really short. We don't have that much time. And I'm so glad that we have military professionals coming out and saying, hey, this is a security